Hey, what's going on, qualifiers, listeners, guys and gals? This is episode number 49 of Unqualified News. This is your host, M, Mauricio, that's me. And let's just get to it, you know? I had three stories, and they're all fucking weird. They all don't relate to each other. So apparently there's been this AI rapper, artificial intelligence rapper, just this fucking 16-bit whatever rapper, and he had a record deal with Capitol Records, but don't worry, they already canceled his ass. So I also have something here from Vice Motherboard, their company with Vice, and it's just, man, some wacky shit going on in Canada. I feel like there's gonna be a lot of wackiness happening in Canada lately. Just been so many weird story. Well, you'll see. This one right here is just some scaffolding company is gonna force their workers to work overtime, mandatory overtime basically. I mean, it's called voluntary overtime, but it's gonna be mandatory at that time. And then we have the BBC News. That's international news talking about Kobe Bryant widow Vanessa Bryant. She was awarded $16 million for the photos that were taken during the helicopter crash. I saw this story pop up and I had to bring it in. All right, qualifiers, I hope everything's been great in the last couple months, man. Life has been beating me up, but man, I feel better than ever. So I'm training for this marathon, the Long Beach Marathon. It's going to happen October 9th. I'm doing it. It's going to happen 26.2 miles. And just a couple weeks ago, I had to get surgery on my arm because... 2017, I got in a big car accident, fucking almost died. And my arm was basically shattered. So I had to get a lot of metal implants into my left arm. And one of the metal pieces that's on the top of my by my bicep basically just like broke off because my bone hadn't healed, you know, since 2017. So, you know, I was working out, like whatever, trying to lift, you know, doing all this and all that, like everything was fine. And in reality, my arm hadn't fully healed. The bone hadn't fully healed. So all the pressure, everything, all the weight was just solely on this bracket, you know? And eventually the fucking bracket just gave up. It kind of like just broke inside me, and it kind of like was popping, like not protruding outside of my skin, but you could see like a mass there, you know? So I had to get it operated on. And so what they did, they took the metal out. Sorry if this is very disgusting, but I just feel like I have to share this. This is something that I'm dealing with right now. I can't just recently, in the past couple of days, I've been able to lift my left arm to my hair so that when I'm showering I can, you know, do the wash your hair movement. Before that, I was washing my hair with my right hand only, which is fucking awkward. Try to wash your hair with one hand. It's just the weirdest fucking thing. So they took bone out of my hip, my left hip. They took a little bit of bone and they put it into my left arm, and then they put bracket on top, bracket on the bottom to hold it right in place. So hopefully I'm going to get an x-ray coming up in the next month, and hopefully it shows that I'm growing my bone properly, you know, and everything's fine. I mean, I have been gradually, every single day my arm gets better, every single day I get more of an extension, so I'm progressing, you know. So that's what I'm very, very happy about. It's just the surgery and the recovery has definitely slowed me down with this marathon that I've been training for. I had to stop going to the gym, running altogether for 25 days, almost 30, almost a month. Just recently I've been able to get back on it running, you know, got back up to 10 miles. I was already up at 10 miles a day, so I was doing 50 miles a week. So 10 miles Monday, 10 miles Tuesday, you know what I'm saying? Now I can't, like, my physically, my body, my bones, my left, you know, specifically my left, like, you know, hip bone, I guess, it's uncomfortable. I wouldn't say it's painful. It's uncomfortable. You know, I can't keep running on it. It's uncomfortable. So that's looming. That's heavy on my mind. And of course, Unqualified News is also heavy on my mind. I feel so guilty every time I don't drop an episode, you know? Like, it's always in the back of my mind. Every time. And I just wish I had... I'm trying, man. I'm really trying to find this... I don't want to say it. Like, motivation, I guess. I have motivation. I love doing this. I've been sitting here recording this episode for the last, you know... whatever time, you know, and you know, reading, rereading, whatever, neighbors loud, and I enjoy it. It's like time slows down, you know, but it's just that lately I've just been, my mind's been wrapped around just so many things: recovery, surgery, you know, and before that, running, getting better at it. Since I started running, I mean, I've been losing, shedding weight fucking quick. Just in the last, like, week, I already lost, like, 10 pounds. I gained 12, 15 pounds when I stopped going to the gym for 25 days, and I already lost it. It's, I wonder where I'm gonna be when I'm able to do the 26.2. And, I feel like it's like a little video game that I'm working on, you know. I know today I fucking struggled so hard. I could only do, I think it was 5 miles, and then after that, just I tried again, and then my foot just started, like, it just started giving me, right now I'm touching my knee and I feel like it's uncomfortable, you know. And I'm so afraid to get hurt, I'm so afraid to get injured, that I just stopped, because I told myself, even if I don't just give a good qualifying time for the marathon, I want to finish it, and I will finish it, even if I don't, you know, do it in 5 hours or 4 hours. I'm going to finish it. It's not gonna be no fucking 8-hour marathon for me either. Alrighty, enough ranting, on with the episode. What's going on with AI rapper FN Mika and Capitol Records? This one is from vulture.com, and I still have a couple days on this free trial left, so let's take advantage. After a short stint on Capitol Records roster, AI rapper FN Mika has been removed from its lineup, effective immediately, following backlash online after an insensitive Instagram post from 2019 mocking police brutality resurfaced. The post was eventually deleted by the Mika account. The account was also put on private, but it continued to draw negative attention and criticism, leading Capitol Records to drop them from the label. But what led up to an AI robot getting a record deal? Below is a look at FN Mika's career and who is behind the controversial account. Who is FN Mika? FN Mika is a self-described robot rapper not accepted by this world. His TikToks show off Louis Vuitton, Rolls-Royce cars, and gold Pokemon cards on chains. All digital, of course. According to Mika creators and Factory New co-founders Anthony Martini and Brandon Lee, a human performs the vocals for Mika, the voice most often being Kyle the Hooligan, as revealed by Genius Jax Morrell. The AI also collaborates with other AI as co-writers. His TikTok was posted 3 years ago, and he has over 500,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. How did FN get signed, and what is the backlash? On August 12th, Capitol Records announced it had signed its first virtual artist, citing him as the number one virtual being on TikTok, with over 10 million followers. He debuted his first single with the company Florida Water, featuring Gunna, who was incarcerated during the release, and Fortnite player Klix that same day. After the announcement, people online began criticizing the label's decision to invest money in virtual artists instead of black musicians. One Twitter user, Temsian Adoki, tweeted that Mika represents the complete bastardization, colonization, and whitewashing of hip-hop and total control of black music altogether, Soon after, people began unearthing old posts from the account, including one that depicted Mika being hit by a police officer while wearing an orange jumpsuit. All of the criticisms of Capitol Records escalated on August 23rd when the activist group Industry Blackout wrote an open letter to the company calling the artificial rapper a direct insult to the black community for its amalgamation of gross stereotypes, appropriative mannerisms that derive from black artists, complete with slurs infused in lyrics. They demanded a formal public apology and that the partnership be terminated. 2 hours later, Joe Coscarelli of the New York Times shared on Twitter that the record label severed ties with Mika after the backlash, according to a statement. CMG has severed ties with the FN Mika project, effective immediately. We offer our deepest apologies to the black community for our insensitivity in this project without asking enough questions about equity and the creation process behind it. We thank those who have reached out to us with constructive feedback in the past couple of days. Your input was invaluable as we come to the decision to end our association with the project. FN Mika's music has been removed from all platforms. What happens to the voice of FN Mika now? Speaking on Jarvis Johnson's Twitch stream, Kyle the Hooligan said he got scouted from the FN Mika project off the work with his crew. He tried to keep the AI music distinct from his personal work. He also was supposed to deny voicing Mika. We wanted it to be a mystery at the time, he said. Kyle also addressed Mika on his Instagram. They came to me with this AI shit, and I was like, would I want to be the voice of it? And I thought it was going to be some collaboration, he said. They promised me equity in the company, percentages, all this stuff. Kyle said he saw the AI's cancellation as karma. Use my voice, use my sound, use the culture, and literally just left me high and dry. I ain't get a dime off nothing. And they got record deals, all this stuff. I wasn't involved in no meetings or none of that, which is fucked up, he said on IG. So I'm glad they got their ass canceled, cause that's karma for their ass. And there you have it, guys and gals, humans out there. That was Vulture.com. Man, where the fuck do I start with this story? I mean, I brought this story up just because I have no idea who the fuck FN Mika was, all right? I'm fucking 34 years old. There's no, I don't know who this fucking guy is. Though I did go, I heard some of his shit and it's just very like, you know, fucking mumble rap robotic kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? This just straight up reminds me of like McDonald's jobs getting taken away, right? The guy that used to do the fries, he no longer can do the fries because fries are automatic now, right? The burgers, they flip themselves now. All this type of things. So now, you know, this company, CMG or whatever, recording label, these two white boys that hired Kyle the Hooligan to voice FN Mika, definitely setting back AI rappers with this one. You know what I'm saying? This one's kind of like tickling me a different way, because so this was two white boys project, but you know they got Kyle the Hooligan to do the voicing. He didn't get paid for it, we found that out. This was like their project, you know. It was kind of like their drawing, right? So it's like if somebody did a drawing of some weird like fucking nasty or whatever shit, right? Or something that was just a little rubbed people the wrong way. This is art, right? Isn't this art? Isn't this okay to do? Maybe CMG, the company, they just gave up too quick, I think. They gave up too quick. I see the Twitter picture and it's just, I mean, it's a cop beating up FN Mika in an orange jumpsuit. And it's just that. It's like the background is a cell and it's just him like mouth open like, ah. I just feel like it wasn't, this is just like a cover-up story of why they wanted to end the project to me. This is what it seems like. Just because, really, that's it? That's all it took? I mean, this is not even a real person. This is all make-believe shit. I don't know on this one. I don't know on this one right here. Yeah, I mean, the music sucked. The music sucked, so it doesn't matter if FN Mika is shut down. Company tells employees, work voluntary overtime or go to jail. This article is from Motherboard from vice.com by Edward Angueso Jr. After workers organized to refuse voluntary overtime shifts, the employer filed a labor complaint that resulted in the action being labeled an illegal strike. Last week, Aluma Safeway, a Canadian scaffolding company, sent workers a memo demanding they accept voluntary overtime shifts or face termination, a hiring ban, legal action, and possible fines or jail time. According to the Alberta Labor Relations Board, ALRB, on August 22nd, an anonymous letter was shared among scaffolders at a Suncor Incorporated site in Alberta. Collectively refused to work overtime shifts for the purpose of compelling incentives from the employer, including improvements in compensation or working conditions. Suncor is one of Canada's largest fossil fuel companies. According to the board, this resulted in no workers taking on overtime shifts. Ultimately, it decided that the action was illegal under the province's labor laws, which rule out strikes that occur while a collective bargaining agreement is in force and before a vote has been taken. The board finds the employee's concerted refusal to accept overtime shifts for the purpose of compelling the employer to agree to the terms and conditions of employment, which constitutes a refusal to work, to be an illegal strike, it said in its decision. The board noted that it would file its decision with the Alberta courts, which would make it enforceable as a court order, and violating it would result in civil or criminal penalties, including contempt of court. The union's collective bargaining agreement states that overtime is strictly voluntary, except for when there are not enough volunteers to complete a job. After the letter encouraging employees to not work overtime was circulated, Aluma Safeway scaffold workers began refusing to work overtime shifts at the Suncor site. The company filed a complaint with the labor board on August 24th. The situation went viral on the anti-work subreddit. A poster there, who claimed to be a worker's child, posted a letter sent by Aluma Safeway to workers after the ALRB's ruling. In that letter, which is signed by two Aluma Safeway managers, the company warned that it's been patient and given your union an opportunity to convince you that this coordinated refusal constitutes an illegal strike, and that you may face consequences as a result. Obviously, this has not worked. Motherboard has not independently verified the letter. However, its contents refer to the ALRB ruling, which is hosted on the ALRB's official website. The two people who signed the letter do indeed work for Aluma Safeway, according to their social media profiles and the company's website. Aluma Safeway went on to warn that violation of this court order would include consequences such as discipline or termination of employment, along with the hiring ban, for those who continue to engage in illegal activity. Aluma Safeway also threatened legal action for all damages caused by the illegal strike, which could make workers personally liable for added production costs, penalties owing to owner, or even the loss of the contract with our client. In the worst case, contempt of court proceedings could open up the possibility of fines and even potentially jail, the company's letter stated. The letter closed with a plea from the company. We do not want to impose any of these consequences set out above. This memo is intended to cause you to change your behavior by impressing upon you the seriousness of this matter, including the consequences that you may suffer if the strike continues. Sadly, there may not be much room for scaffold workers to continue their refusal to accept overtime shifts in the sweltering heat. The collective bargaining agreement that represents Aluma Safeway scaffolders, negotiated by the Laborers International Union of North America, Local 506, requires workers give up the right to strike so long as the agreement is in effect in accordance with provincial law. The ALRB, Aluma Safeway, and Local 506 all did not respond to Motherboard's request for comment. And there you have it, qualifiers. That is Motherboard. They're like a little offshoot with Vice.com, and they're talking about Aluma Safeway out there in Canada, and Canada's fucking going apeshit right now. Canada's doing some wacky shit over there. Remember just not so long ago, they shut down. They like didn't let nobody in to Canada. Didn't let nobody out. And then they, Trudeau, he was making the truckers' lives miserable. I heard he froze a lot of bank accounts that were donating money to, I guess, his opponent. I don't know. It's just a lot of wacky shit that I'm hearing from Canada. And this is another one. So I had to bring this motherfucker up right here. So, I mean, apparently it seems like these poor scaffolder workers, I mean, by law, the law states if there's not enough workers that want to do it voluntarily, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be forced to do it, basically. That's what I read. And it looks like Local 506 already reached some type of agreement to at least, you know, kind of like get the workers back to working until they figure shit out. But this is some something right here, man. This is our neighbors up there, you know, Canada. Canada's up top. I feel like we're gonna start hearing a lot of shit coming from Canada. Kobe Bryant's widow awarded $16 million. Leaked crash photos payout. This one is from BBCnews.com. Vanessa Bryant, 40, said she had panic attacks after learning images taken by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies and firefighters had been shared. A federal jury now said the county must pay Mrs. Bryant for emotional distress. Co-plaintiff Christopher Chester will be paid $15 million. Mrs. Bryant's husband, Kobe Bryant, 41, daughter Gianna, 13, and six family friends died when their helicopter crashed in California in January 2020. Mr. Chester lost his wife, Sarah, and daughter Peyton in the crash. A report by the Los Angeles Times claiming county employees took photos at the crash site and shared them with others has enraged the victims' families. Last November, the county agreed to pay $2.5 million over the emotional distress caused to two families who lost relatives in the crash, but Mrs. Bryant refused to settle. Sobbing on the witness stand last week, Mrs. Bryant recalled being at home with her other children when she read the LA Times story. "I bolted out the house and I ran to the side of the house so the girls couldn't see me. I wanted to run down the block and just scream," she said. Mrs. Bryant said she felt blindsided, devastated, hurt, and betrayed by the news of the leak, and in fear every day of having these images pop up on social media. "I don't ever want to see these photographs," she said. "I want to remember my husband and daughter the way they were." Jurors at the trial heard how sheriff's deputies and firefighters took gruesome mobile phone photos at the accident site and showed them to others, including at a bar and at a gala event. These employees poured salt in an open wound and rubbed it in with their actions, Mrs. Bryant's lawyer, Louise Lee, said during open statements last week. A lawyer for the county unsuccessfully argued that site photography is essential and that the photos had not been posted anywhere publicly. Bryant, a five-time NBA champion, played for the LA Lakers throughout his career and is considered one of the greatest players in the game's history. Alrighty, qualifiers, there you go. That's from BBC.com, BBC News. And I, especially when it comes to things that are very close to home, I love to go to news outlets from another country, like the BBC's, you know? Just to kind of get their idea, to kind of see from their perspective what they're seeing from that, you know, side of the pond, as they say. Man, just reading through this, it's kind of tough because it just kind of took me back that day when I found out Kobe Bryant had passed away. I basically just glued myself to the TV. That whole day, we were just watching the news. Everybody in the house was watching the news. Still, you know, in disbelief for weeks and months, probably. Even now, it's just, you know, it's not like I met the guy, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I knew the guy. But, I mean, I basically grew up with him, right? I mean, ever since I can remember, ever since I was a Lakers fan, you know, it's always been Kobe Bryant. So it's, a part of me feels like he's, you know, I mean, I never met the guy. So I feel like he's still out there somewhere, you know what I mean? Except when I see stories like this, you know, they're a clear reminder that he's not with us anymore, you know? Qualifiers, guys and gals, listeners, anybody out there listening, appreciate you. Thanks for listening. I know my inconsistency, I hate it, but like I said earlier, I gave you like a thousand excuses, but really in reality there's no excuse, you know. In reality, I'm able to do this. I'm able to sit here and really reality do this. I could not be on some YouTube videos, you know what I'm saying? I really appreciate you guys listening in. I see the listeners. They grow, then they shrink, then they grow, then they shrink. But I do notice that when I'm consistent, they grow and they keep growing and they keep growing, and that feels so good, you know. That makes me feel like what I'm doing here is something worthy, you know. It's just me. I'm fighting myself sometimes, you know, and that's something that I'm conscious about. I'm not, you know, just blindly going through. I'm conscious about the fact that I'm not consistent, and I'm doing things to help that, to alleviate that. So just bear with me, qualifiers. Again, thank you for listening, and love you. Peace.